Hey everybody, Little Monsters Podcast. How's everybody doing?
Hey group. Oh.
Ted.
Sammon.
Dino. Hey, got to give a shout out to the Chinese, man. I don't know what happened, but our podcast shot through the roof.
You guys are finding us great.
So all you Chinese listeners out there listening to us, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's totally awesome to like know that people from lots of other countries are listening
to
you.
Yeah, I mean, we got UK, India, mm-hmm. everywhere. I mean, everywhere. But for some reason, man.
A big spike in the last week.
And I'm just like, how? So, hey.
Maybe they really like Lost Boys.
There. Hello to y'all. Yeah, the Lost Welcome. Boys, man. Did it awesome. But anyways, yeah, today's podcast is going to be the Planet of the Vampires.
Back to old school.
1965, sci-fi. 1965. It's kind of a horror sci-fi.
Yeah, I'd rank it like Alien, you know, kind of like, you know, a science fiction movie with horror elements to it, I guess is what I would... I'd probably say it's more of a sci-fi movie than a horror movie.
So it's not your typical American sci-fi of the era. It's because this is an Italian-Spanish type sci-fi movie.
Directed by Mario Bava, who, if you're a horror fan, you know he's required reading. He's done plenty of Italian-type horror movies, giallos. Some even say he invented the slasher.
Yes.
You know, whereas, you know, like Halloween was kind of our first exposure, or Psycho maybe to some extent, to the slasher type horror movie. He was kind of considered the first one to ever do it.
So. And that's what I really like about this movie. There's elements in this that are really, like even their spacesuits. Awesome. I love the style of the set.
Except those big collars that come up.
I love the collars.
I'd be ripping that off.
I love the spacesuits. I love the set. Right.
It's like their uniform, and it serves as a spacesuit too, because they don't need anything when they go outside the ship.
Right, right.
No helmet. No.
And I like the set. I like how the ship is like real wide open in the middle,
but nothing's in it.
Everything looks like Star Trek. It's got a lot of elements of Star Trek, the original series.
And Star Trek started, I think, you know, like a year later.
Yeah. You know, so and even to the point to where the guy that's looking through the little thing is like Spock when he looks through the thing
space. You're right. The thing that flashes in his eyes.
Sitting there holding it. But anyways, to get to the movie, it's been a while since I watched it.
I've never seen it.
No. And I like this movie. It's not as great as I remember it being, but there's a lot of great elements to it. This one, I figure, there's things he likes about it too, but to sit down and watch it, he was in a little bit of misery.
He told me about this movie, I swear to God, almost 20 years ago. Planet of Vampires, you gotta see this movie. Like when DVD first came out in the late 90s, and I kind of jumped on board early. He was telling me about this movie. Never got around to renting. Well, not like you could rent this.
You might have liked it a lot more back then.
Maybe. You know, for if I was a kid and
because
seen
I know
it
seemed
more.
Like I did. But
because I definitely, as a kid, I watched all the old classic science fiction movies. Now when I watch them with a 40-year-old's eye, I love science fiction. And, you know, we're going to do a podcast talking about all our favorite movies after this. We're going to do another little podcast, so stay tuned. Yeah,
top 10 horror movies. Right. But
it's kind of funny that, you know, horror is not even my favorite thing. You know, I love monster movies. I love monsters and stuff like that. But I'm more like a science fiction, fantasy action, Clash of the Titans type dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love science fiction. But when I watch movies like this, it's just like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Hey. But would you say to the fans of sci-fi and certain other of this era and stuff. I think there's plenty of people who take a chance, watch it.
Well, sure.
There's a lot of really interesting, cool things.
You're going to see seeds from other movies that you really like in this movie.
Right.
Especially Alien. You're going to see a little bit of
Body
Snatchers, which kind of came first, but you know, every generation gets their own version of Body Snatchers.
Right.
I'd like to eventually do a show on all of the Body Snatcher movies. I think they're all good.
No, yeah.
So there's little nuggets there that the keen, you know, science fiction horror fan are going to pick up on.
Right.
And other things. If you don't know them, then, you know, you're going to miss those things. But, like, even the shape of the ship is reminiscent of Alien, the derelict ship they find on the planet. It's U-shaped.
Right.
So there's lots of things
there.
When
they're walking in, when they go inside. Mm-hmm. And the
and we'll point those out as we go through the film.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess as far as science fiction fans go, this kind of stuff had to come first because we didn't know as much about space back then. You know, we started getting out into space. Mm-hmm. You know, without this stuff, you wouldn't have got 2001.
I think that's another annoying thing that you don't like, how they've got to explain everything about science.
But that's like Star Trek, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
There was a lot in this movie,
and I love
Ted.
Star Trek. Well, the original Star Trek.
I wish I could remember a lot of what they were saying, but there's like...
It goes over 20, my head.
25,000 parsecs from jumping lunar... Fantalape. I mean, it's just like really just weird, and far out stuff.
I guess like when we get to,
I couldn't even write it down. It was just so many going at once. I'm like, I can't write that
down. It's technobabble. That's what they call it.
Technobabble. Yeah.
And that's maybe my one caveat with Star Trek. The reason I like the original Star Trek series, because I just love those characters. I love how they gel together.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the original 3-season TV series or the films, they had a magic about them. Even if in real life they couldn't stand each other for sometimes. You know, they, as those characters that came together, I try watching Next Generation, and that Geordi LaForge just shoots out that techno babble. Mm. Maybe if I reroute this, who knows how to do that? And why did they do it from the beginning? And
I thought you were a fan of the Next Generation.
I don't hate it.
I definitely don't think those characters
are as good. I know it's considered...
No, there's a couple, no. Like, Geordi LaForge, I mean, I get it, but, you know.
None of those characters ring the same way that the originals. And maybe that's what's cool about it, is that it is so different.
Right.
You know, their captain is kind of a wuss. And you know...
Right. Well, I get it.
No, I'll Picard is a better captain. Kirk is a better hero.
Yeah, totally separate entities of itself.
And but... I mean, you know, in the pantheon of science fiction TV shows, I think Next Generation probably outranks the OG series as being more popular.
Right.
You know, a lot of fans like it, and they've just put them all out on Blu-ray and redid
all
the special effects.
They did so many seasons, and it's hung around for so long.
And it's back on in reruns now on at least 2 channels on my cable. So you can watch it anytime you want. But yeah, it's just the techno babble that gets me. You know, I like science fiction.
I actually like that kind of stuff just because it's out there. I don't know. Everybody likes their own thing. You know what I mean? I like that stuff.
You know, if I get into science fiction, it's 2001. You can't do any better than 2001.
Of course.
I'm not a religious person, but that's how I would explain things.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel in here.
I hear you.
You know, cool stuff like Primer, if you ever saw Primer. That's kind of a newer film, time travel type film.
Haven't seen it.
It's fantastic. It's real dense, though. And thank God it's only like 70 minutes. because it's really hard. And there's, I wouldn't say techno babble on that, but it's hard science. That's what it is. It's hard science. So I like, you know, cool science fiction movies like that.
I think Ted doesn't like this movie so much that he's just going to go on
talk about all the other ones that I do like.
About all the sci-fi movies
10
out
minutes
there.
In, we haven't even started talking about the movie yet.
Well, yeah, we'll get through this.
All right. So
but anyways, I mean,
let's see. you do the talk.
Planet of the Vampire, 1965, Mario Bava. It's two ships, Argos and the Galliant.
Wow, you remember that.
And they're going... after the planet Aura, they get a signal.
They've received a signal.
And
it's taken them, a couple years? They've been tracing the signal for a couple years.
Yeah.
And they finally have gotten there.
And they start out with the whole... Well, yeah, we can jump over a lot. I mean, the ship, they show the ship, the guy looking in a thing like Star Trek.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. I'll tell you.
Red lights coming at him, which would blind you, but, you know, he's
right
in there.
Yeah. Even the infrared lights aren't, or x-rays aren't, I mean, you know.
They've all got black leather suits with big high collars that come up past their
again,
ears.
Which I said I like. And
without the collar part, I think it's cool. You know.
But another cool thing that they used in this thing is they used a mirror-based Shufton process to combine the live action and the miniatures. I'm sure you noticed that during the Shufton process. I have no idea. I'm throwing it out there because that's what it's called, and that's what they did. It's called the Shufton process.
Techno babble. Shufton.
But process. No, I mean, if you noticed, I mean,
you did some research,
even when they're walking on the rocks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look. It just looks very cool.
How do they do that? Is that you
like mirrors? Like they'll magnify the if you notice the crystals and rock formations, even the ships are used by using mirrors to make them larger, and the people they incorporate them into the film.
Okay,
so it was a new process.
There was an interesting technique that took place in 2001, which is a little bit after that was made in 68, but that took like several years to make. Right. But they used like 3M little glass beads, and it was like a back projection, and then you know, foreground. You almost can't even tell the difference.
Yeah,
you can't really. It almost all looks seamless. So okay, so this must be like what they used before they kind of invented that.
Yeah,
so.
But that's one of the things I like about the movie. I mean, I like a lot of the. Like, it looks like miniature models.
Yeah, you know? When they land on the planet, it is very surreal looking and interesting color hues. And
right.
I think to cover up a lot of what it was, you know, a lot of mist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's something like Ridley Scott had said one time, especially when they were making Blade Runner, you know, when all else fails, just put, you know, rain and mist in, and that'll cover everything up.
There you go. But I mean, it looked expensive for Italian sci-fi. I mean, a lot of our 60s sci-fis were very... I mean, it was black and white,
right.
Cheap, but pretty I liked much. It. You know, little models, this and that.
And
but,
they just churned them out because, you know, they were cheap and they made money.
Right, right.
You know, just like horror movies today.
This is so different from ours, though. That's
yeah,
you know,
this is definitely a European production. Right. It's a mixture of American, Italian, I think some Spanish actors.
Yeah.
And when they made the film, they all said their dialogue in their native tongue. So you could have an American actor sharing dialogue with someone speaking Italian, not having any idea what they're saying.
Right.
Unless, that's you know, because some actors learn the whole script, some actors just learn their dialogue.
Yeah.
So I think if I was an actor, I'd probably just learn my dialogue. That way you can respond better. You know, it's more authentic when you don't know what they're saying, I guess. You know what you're going to say, but you don't know what they're saying.
You're not going to belch all...
Did I just do that? Did I just belch?
Oh, no, I'm just talking... Maybe that's why we got so many new subscribers and listeners.
What happened to me?
Because,
I don't remember.
You were belching like crazy last week.
I'm not normally that rude. I apologize, guys.
It ain't rude. No, it was fun.
You're right. I'm proud I did it. I'm going to do it again.
We're here to have fun, dang it. Anyways.
What's with the meteor rejector? I guess there's a lot of meteors around this planet. And they've got some kind of device that they don't really show you what it does. And but by God, it plays a huge role in this movie.
Yeah,
back
and
forth trying to get one of these things, because evidently if they don't have it, they're not going to...
The meteor's going to hit it.
They've got like a piss poor chance to get home.
Which you got to admit, the very ending of the movie, you watched it, right?
Yeah. Well, I watched it.
Was very cool.
Yes, we will get to the kind of Twilight Zone-y ending to the film.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't expect it.
Right.
That got me there. Yes. I didn't expect it.
Yes.
So I said that. It's like, okay, now that's cool.
There's some long, drawn-out pauses without speech that kind of draw the movie longer than it should be.
Yeah, so they're getting kind of...
So
you know,
I think that might throw you off a little, some people off.
Hey,
I don't know.
Yeah, I watched 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's like, two and a half hours and there's 10 minutes of talking in it. So, I mean...
Well, that's true.
You know, I've got a good attention span.
Yeah,
but
the main characters are Mark, the captain
I know
of the ship
Mark.
Or whatever.
Yeah, he's the captain of one of the ships.
Yeah, and Wes is on the ship with Mark and Sonya.
Is she the redheaded one?
Yeah, those
are attractive.
Those are
attractive.
Kind of the three main characters. Okay. And what happens is,
I even like with their uniforms. Some of them have like the black leather headgear on. And these women have big hair, and it's just like flat against their head.
Black
like,
and yellow. I love
like
it.
Ming the Merciless kind of, you know, if you've seen Flash Gordon, the thing he wore on his head.
And it's like really thick rubber or something. I mean, I love it.
They
looks
had
cool.
to be dripping sweat.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah. I mean, imagine having to go to a bathroom in between takes and having to pull that thing off.
You got to have a rubber
a
zipper. tubing coming out the leg. Shake it a little bit.
So they get closer to the planet, and they landing or did I forget?
Well,
are they getting drawn in?
They're getting drawn in. The signals, you know, they're talking in their thing. Mm-hmm. They got their little screen up there. None of that makes sense. It's just bleeps
none of what they're saying.
Bobs and you know, all this. But yeah, they're saying like the gravity starts. Technobabble, but the gravity starts pulling them into the planet.
I mean, something like what they say, like 40 G's or something like that.
Yeah,
nobody
I think
can,
in their 50s.
Yeah, nobody but can anyway. Keep their heads up. They're all getting pulled down.
They're like
pulled
moving
back.
Real
except
slow.
The Captain Mark. He's able to hold himself, and I'm going to hit that button. And nobody else. They're all like knocked unconscious.
Yeah, pretty
you
much.
Know? But
he's
and I think
he's
that's
able
key to it, because I think that's right. key that a lot of them were just like knocked out.
Yeah.
The pressure just really messed them up. And then when they land... And they start coming to, they're like raving, except for Mark, they're all like raving lunatics.
Oh yeah, they go
crazy.
They're
on
going
both
crazy.
Ships.
Yeah.
We find out what happened on the other ship later on, but both
yeah,
ships.
Yeah, before they, when they were being pulled in, they lost contact with the Gallant.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at that ship, like I said, it's got that U shape. It really is, someone who made Alien watched this movie. That's all I gotta say.
Oh yeah, you know. Well, 1965 was
Alien was 78, 79, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, somebody who made Alien watched this movie. You had to, right? Yeah, I mean. And even Star Trek. I mean, I don't know. I think they took some key elements mm-hmm. from this picture, too, or something. I don't
know. Well, I mean, yeah, these were
kind of... I mean, I know there were bleeps and blahs and dashboards and everything in a lot of the other sci-fi movies and stuff, but it just seemed way too close to those, you know, like Star Trek.
I mean, this is... I don't get the feeling so much in the original Star Trek series, but this ship in Planet of the Vampires seems very sterile. It's all metal and, you know, clank, clank, clank when they waft. There's
wide open areas.
Yeah, there's nothing organic or anything like that. Whereas in Next Generation, there were things that made it seem a little bit more organic.
Right.
And, you know, a little bit more homey. You know, they had the hollow deck or, you know, the little, what was it called? The bar that they went into. I can't remember what the name of it was, but...
Yeah.
You know, there were things that...
Whoopi Goldberg sitting there.
Right.
She was the wise woman.
Yeah.
I forget her name.
Guinan in the...
Yeah, Guinan, yeah.
So... Yeah, so they land, and a few of them just start going, you know, BS crazy, and, choking them out, and fighting, and then they kind of, you knock them out, and when they come to, they, like, don't remember what they did.
Right. Mark the captain runs, you know, he's...
So what's up with that?
Slapping them to get them, you know, back their senses. Here, you take this, boom, take this. Which, by the way, we're going to do Evil Dead next week.
Yes, we've decided.
Yeah, but anyway, so...
With the new show coming on and everything.
Just to throw that out there, yeah. Anyways, yeah, they're just... going, he's making sure that everybody's, like, okay. You know,
right.
Basically, you know.
And, everybody, you know, is accounted for, I think, and cool, and then they're going to... You know, they're checking... I don't think they ever do, like, an atmosphere reading. One guy, he's still kind
of
crazy, and
he runs out of the ship.
You know, they're trying to stop him. No helmet on. No, thank Christ there's oxygen out there.
Yeah, that's the one thing. At least, yeah, he goes tumbling out and he's able to breathe. So they know that they
can gravity's all the same.
Yeah, you know. Hey, what are you going to do?
But that was the case in a lot of Star Trek shows too. Yeah,
and they come out. I mean, and here's where you get the first glimpse of the planet itself. And it's you see all the mist around everywhere.
Almost can't see the planet because of the mist. Can't see the mist for the trees.
Kind of. And you see the ship, though, the alien style.
Yeah, and with the kind of smoke coming around it.
H.R. Geiger
style. It really does look like that moment in Alien when they see the ship. Yeah, and even if you kind of think about it, Alien almost didn't exist because of... what's the director? I can't remember his name. But the guy who wanted to make Dune in the 70s.
Okay. Oh,
can't remember his name. It's on the tip of my tongue.
That's all right.
But, he made films like El Topo and Holy Mountain and stuff like that. Forgive me, I can't remember your name at the moment. But a lot of the people that ended up working on Alien took their ideas that they were working on in Dune. And Dune would have been... There's a documentary called... Oh, Alejandro Jodorowsky. I think that was his name. Because there's a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune.
There
it's all
go.
About the movie, the greatest science fiction movie that never happened. And it really does sound like it would have been this... big, sweeping, epic space opera. And a lot of the people that ended up going to work on Alien, when that all fell through, took their ideas that they, you know, put down on paper for... Because if you look at some of the pictures, like the sketches that they were doing for Dune, that's what you get in Alien. Hmm. So, Alien, if Dune had happened, if it had seriously happened, we probably wouldn't have had Alien. So...
Well, it's a good thing we didn't, because Alien's one of the...
That Dune film would have been...
Well, right.
It would have been weird, psychedelic, out there. But
yeah,
it
would have branched off into a different...
I think it would have been just something epic that...
Yeah.
I wish someone would... The man's still alive. I wish someone would give him the money to do it now.
Yeah, probably not. Anyways...
I can't give it to you. So, yeah.
Yeah, so they come back in the ship after the guy settles down out there.
Yeah, they go out there and get him. They have helmets on. It's the only time in the movie where they have space helmets on.
Right.
They have them on at that time. They go out there and get them, bring them back. And...
They were smart, yeah. But then they pick up the signal of the other ship, the SOS. Oh my God, we're on the plane. So they get a track on that signal. They must be close by, all that stuff.
And I love the talking.
I'll get them. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Kind of dubbing there. But
it's like, what, four of them go after them?
Yeah, well, they're looking through that window type thing, and scope. It's like a scope you put up to a submarine. You know? And
it's 12 parsecs.
There's the ship. I see it across the way. So they get out and they start heading over there to see what's going over. And they get over there. Mm-hmm. And everybody's laying down on the ship.
It's like
dead.
Four people dead. You can tell they ripped each other apart.
And... So the captain was the only one that stayed awake. So that's why he didn't go nutty, psychotic.
See, and that's what I wondered too. Because the others kind of got knocked out. Because they never really mentioned that. The others kind of... And I think that's why... What this movie ends up being is there's like some invisible creatures that live on this planet.
Yeah. That inhabit the body once it's...
Of the dead.
Dead.
Right.
Or it can inhabit the body of the living if it's willing.
If it's willing.
If it's willing to.
And I guess they're dying out. Their son's dying. They're dying out. So that's the only thing I can kind of think, you know, because they were unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was the reason why they were able to get inside and everybody was going crazy,
trying
to kill each other so that they couldn't. But they got in the body to make them kill each other so they could get into the body.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Todd. I'm thinking something about the mist got into them.
The mist. It was the mist.
Well, they keep showing that mist creeping
around. Or maybe they did some kind of mind
around.
Control or something. You know?
No, well, that is what they say in the movie.
Did they say that?
Yeah. So, it's a mind control thing. So.
Trying to get them to kill each
Whatever.
Other initially so that they could...
Inhabit the body.
Inhabit the body.
Because, they go to the ship and they find out they're not... they're all laying around dead and... they keep somebody guard there. And
anybody who's on guard ends up disappearing.
Oh, yeah. because as we find out...
They're like the red shirts in Star Trek.
As we find out... We'll probably skip through this movie kind of quickly here. But as we find out... Don't be, you know, turned off by us, you know...
Yeah, we're joking on it a bit, but there's some really cool things
movie.
In this movie.
It's worth watching if you're a sci-fi fan.
I think so.
Especially.
I think so.
But... as in any case, we all have different opinions on what we like and stuff like that. So, the dead...
There's some kind of cool dead gore sort of effects in there.
Yeah,
some
see the
cool
blood
stuff.
And stuff. I mean, they really went at each other on the other ship.
Yeah,
so.
It looked pretty brutal on... What was the ship? The
Galleon.
Galleon.
Yeah.
So, and it goes... Argos. Is that also the captain's brother was... I don't think he was the captain of the other ship, but he was on the ship.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. But anyways, they...
to add some human drama to
them. Yeah, we find out that they do come back to life once they're dead.
Right,
because
they bury them.
Yeah.
They bury them.
And there's a really cool scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I was going to say, it's cool how they bury them. They bury them, they put like some kind of
metal
sheeting on top.
Yeah.
Almost like a headstone, like a metal-type headstone. And
yeah, it looks really weird.
When these dead reanimated corpses do come out of their graves, it is really kind of, you know, it's all slow-mo and freaky.
And it's kind of, this is Planet of Vampires, but you can say vampire zombie kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're creatures of themselves. They call them vampires because that's kind of what was going on there at a period at a time.
Yeah,
but
they do
they do come out of the ground, they push that up, and it's like a slow-mo thing coming out of the ground.
And the bodies are all wrapped in
plastic.
And they just kind of, it's just... Yeah, it's just got a... you watch in the dark, it's pretty...
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool. So, that's another cool scene in the movie.
Yeah, so they're all, you know, looking around the ship and you know, oh, we're going to split up and, you know, we'll meet here and meet here. And
I do like how they show them in the ships, like, it's a big, huge inside the ship, and they're real tiny up on, like, the second level
deck. So that's
kind
of the effect you're talking about, probably, to give it that look.
And
from what I understand, I was reading up a little bit on this film, and supposedly it's like, you know, the most popular Italian science fiction, like in Italy, it's the most popular homegrown science fiction film.
Gets good reviews here too, but
you guys need to step it up a little.
No, but yeah, I mean, it's very cool, and of course they send people back, you know, people are guarding the ships, and they start...
There's a lot of back and forth between these ships.
Yeah, they're going back and forth.
The one guy, you'll never make it alone. All they did was walk!
And they always and they always left them alone.
Yeah, but they don't got no problem leaving them alone at the ship, and then when they come back, where's he at? Where did he go? Let's search for him. He's gone.
Love the name of the force field around the ship machine, like you said, the rejector.
The rejector.
Because it is destroyed on the other ship.
Right, so they have to get the one from the other one... to put on their ship so that they can get out of here, because there's all the technobabble. We have a He's like, we have a 3 in 10 chance of escaping. And, you know, we can be here for 3 days before, you know, whatever, we won't be able to get out. Or, yeah. Or the planet will move so far from orbit, they won't, I don't know.
But one of the people go back and, because they're still going a little crazy and stuff. Still.
Yeah, on occasion you got one person, you know, it seems like if anybody sleeps... Like if someone sleeps,
they like creep in their mind. Right, and they get control
when
of them.
When they're susceptible, so they have to start guarding each other.
Yeah,
people either aren't sleeping or, you know, like remember when they find like those two guys that they thought were gone? Like there were a couple guys missing from that ship,
right?
And
that were on guard at the other ship. But
I mean, they were missing from that original ship where those people were dead.
Okay.
And they end up finding them later on in the movie,
right?
And they're already, you know, like vampire.
Well, yeah, they're talking like. Yes, we are fine.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah, like the doctor's going,
Right, and they're exhausted. All right, this is way further than the movie.
Yeah.
And they're exhausted, and they're going to go get some sleep. It's like, wait, if one of you sleeps, the other has to stand guard. They're exhausted.
Right.
So one of them, they got to stay up.
And if they're both something, you're suspicious about both of them, why would you keep one of the suspicious men guarding the other suspicious man? Because the doctor said, and then we can poke holes in every movie ever made. But anyways, Mark the Captain says,
my movies.
Anyways, he goes, something suspicious about still going on with that. But they send him to sleep.
I know, the doctor doesn't seem to know anything. Like, every time, and they're always like, what do you think? I have no idea what to think.
Oh, God. But anyways, one of the shipmates do go and try to destroy the rejector.
Right.
And,
right.
Otherwise the ship, so the
yeah,
because
isn't this when the blonde lady's, I think she's trying to sleep or something like that, and I can't remember if that's the exact part or not, but,
can't remember.
But it's kind of like a little intense scene where there's one of those freaked up guys in the room with her. And there's a lot of that. There's always someone popping out from behind.
Well, the guy named Bert, he was one of the guys on guard.
I love the names they picked. Bert.
He dies, and he's laying on the table, and he opens up his eyes because he's inhabited. They think he's dead and all that.
That's right. Know? Yeah, the hand starts moving.
And she walks away.
And it looks like she's making photocopies, whatever machine she's using.
Yeah, I don't know. Some scientific
and closes the door, and then he's standing there, and half his face is all groated over. And
they just decided to put some kind of weird makeup burned effect on for...
And then she runs away, and then they just find her on the floor.
Yeah. Guy didn't do nothing to her. I mean,
no,
he just took off.
No, or nobody gets.
No, he laid back.
He's back
on the
table like nothing happened.
Yeah, he's
you know.
Oh, I thought I just dreamt that it was scary. You know?
Right. So they're gonna bury him. Yeah. They bury him in the plastic, and
he'll get out.
What's the name of the guy who's working on the ship? You know, he's like the Geordi LaForge of this movie, and he's constantly, you know, trying to get it where you know they'll be able to get out of here in 8 hours.
Right. And I like how the captain and the other Sonya, I think the redhead. They change outfits.
They get an orange jumpsuit.
I had to change out of it, so they did, you know. But more pictures of the big ship in the background.
It is
and
cool.
stuff.
And I gotta admit, some of the scenery they used on the planet is really cool. And then what gets them going out again?
I think they see a structure in the background.
Right. And this is actually where I kind of started, my interest started getting a little peaked in the film.
Right.
This scene,
good part,
coming up is pretty good. And when they come out to the outside of like a, I don't know if it's a structure or a vessel. I think it's a structure. I don't think it's was it a ship or is it a?
Yeah, it might have been a ship. I'm leaning more towards a ship.
Because I don't think these were creatures that lived on this planet.
Yeah.
But there's.
Because they say one other, species did land on.
Right. So they detect another vessel. And they go to investigate it. I wouldn't even go outside my ship with all this other crazy crap going on. But to make a movie cool, they go out there and there's like a humanoid type looking skeleton laying outside this vessel, which is about, I think they say like 3 times the size of a human. And it's
very
really cool.
large.
Yeah, and it's cool and the vessel's all groated over and everything.
And this is where you get the alien type thing.
Going into the vessel and stuff like that.
Stepping in like the circular tunnel and walking all the way through to where like I guess the captain's room where he controls
the ship. It's got an alien vibe. Not
ship or something.
Not enough to where I'd say alien cribbed off of it, but it's got that feel to it.
Right,
it's got that eerie kind of feel to it. And
and there's a big skeleton on like the
a table.
Console table type thing with a little red button that evidently it controls the door, but
or something, yeah. Yeah,
because they go to press it, she does, and you know, he goes,
there must be 200 volts. he's got volt detector hands.
Yeah.
Like my geometry teacher used to say, we have protractor eyes. Oh, when we said God. Something was a 90 degree angle, yeah. And it was, why do you have protractor eyes? You know exactly how many degrees it is.
So funny. Oh my God.
And
But he flips some switch and it closes the doors, yeah, and stuff like that. And another strange...
And there's a guy waiting outside. There's always one waiting, yeah, outside.
He said, you wait out here. If anything happens,
guess what
you
happens
take off.
To him.
He's missing. But, yeah. But he finds...
Everything
doors...
in here looks like a neon crayon when they go into this.
It does. It's a weird style to the ship, but they had to make it look different because it's a different species. Right. And
orange pylons all over the place.
Orange pylons. That's what it looks like. Stop here. Construction zone. Nope. Anyways, everything shuts off and the air starts getting sucked out of the ship and they're like losing, you know, like air and stuff like that.
Yeah, she starts saying, I can't breathe. Okay, yeah. And I thought he was going to smack her at that part. I was like, snap out of it, because that's the 60s.
And but no. And he can handle anything. But he finds something and opens it up and it's like, boom, one of those metal rods.
Well, that doesn't actually open. They find something that looks like a tuning fork. Maybe I can find the right frequency.
But...
It's a friggin' tuning fork, AC.
Oh my God, Ted, you're killing me.
But it just makes the same noise every time he hits.
He's going up and down it like it's going to open it and stuff, and it doesn't do nothing.
What is this? Doing?
I don't know what was up with that either.
It's like 5 minutes of that.
Well, and he does eventually get to the button, yeah, and he grabs that, and he's like, oh!
Yeah, he's suffering.
Yeah, this 200 volts.
This guy can take anything. This guy can take a punishment. He probably, if all the air got sucked out of that room,
which doesn't make sense towards the end what happens, but anyways, because he's so, you know, willing and heroish and out there and strong.
Yeah, when did...
But anyways, he goes to take that to the door and puts it up and down. And
that gets the door to open, and then, you know, they're able to escape.
Yeah.
Get outside, and I forgot, I don't remember anybody's name except Mark.
No, I don't know too many.
And when they get out there, and the fella who was supposed to be standing guard, you know, did his job real well, and he's disappeared.
And
there were some scenes in this film, and I think it was before the part that we're talking about, where the first guy that was standing guard, you heard someone calling his name.
Yeah,
and that's what got him
like
to
Bill.
Or yeah,
another weird name. You know.
Biff.
We'll call this character's name Bill. Bill?
And
Bob,
I swear,
and
one
Joe.
Of the voices in it, one of the dubbed voices, sounds like something exactly. I love Sergio Leone. It sounds like something out of like Fistful of Dollars, like one of those voices. I think it's the same actor. I wish I could find out who it is, but it just sounds like that.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, you know, that's whatever these characters are that are getting in their minds, calling them away.
Right.
And then they get back to the ship, because I think maybe he went back for help, because they were screaming and yelling when they were trapped in that room as the air was being pulled out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get back there, and it's like, no, he's not here. He was with you, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he has to ask, wasn't he? Mm. You know, like, where's our people? Because this film starts off with, like, 18 people, and at the end of the movie, only 3 of them are left.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even remember how all of them go.
Yeah. I think some of them are still roaming the planet, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, shortly
you think
after,
they would have taken them with them.
Right, shortly after characters get back, those that we were just talking about, those two that were missing from the other ship, they come up, and you're right, you know, they're all zombified. Yes, we are fine. We were wandering around. We are tired. And
Doctor wouldn't say, I think I need to check you. Mm-hmm. Like bones. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah,
he doesn't have his little sensor.
He's got to check something.
No tricorder saying they're dead, Jim.
Yeah. Needed to fix them up. Anybody.
Just go get some rest, but one of you stay awake.
Even a blind man could have figured out something's wrong with this guy. These two guys. Yeah. But anyways,
Helen Keller would have known something.
Let's let them loose on the ship and do whatever they need to do.
And that's exactly what they do. You know, the firearms aren't locked up at all. They're just like in a rack on the wall where anybody can get
their hands. Even on a rack. They're sitting, leaned up against the wall.
Yeah, or it's like a magnet or something. You know,
could be, because which the ship goes flying. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, everything.
And then, and this is kind of like, you know, we get to the part where the plan is revealed, because they get one of those guys.
Yeah.
And in the struggle, in the tussle, his coat comes open a little bit, and he's all like
they see
dead
the ribs
and rotted,
and
ribs and rotted. Yeah. It's a little kind of a...
gory kind
of... You know, if you like real hardcore gore, you just don't even watch this movie. I don't like real hardcore.
It's not that gory.
Reanimator was as gory
as
I take.
Oh my God. I love Reanimator. Are you being serious?
What?
It ain't gory in this
movie. I said if you're like real hardcore gore, don't bother watching this. That's what I'm
saying. Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
It's well, because very... Italian movies are known for some of their gore, like Dario Argento. And so, right. You know, a lot of blood, a lot of gore.
And this, and yeah, like this ain't. I mean,
this is early stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they show the insides and it looks like something we could make out of crayons.
Yeah, you got Mario Bava, you got, you know, but... Lucio Fulco and Dario Argento.
Gianna Micapiccia, and, you know.
You know what I'm talking about. Whatever. But those are like the Italian guys that most people see.
But yeah, they reveal why they, you know, they inhabit the body.
You know, it's
trying to get off the... They've been tortured here.
Yeah, he's inhabited by this being, and he's the one telling it.
And they've sent a signal out to them.
For centuries.
For centuries.
Trying to get us here.
Yeah.
And he said finally did it.
He said to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he's sending more out to other people, but, you know. Yeah.
Maybe.
To them, all points. So,
waiting for someone to come so that, you know, they could take them off this world so that their species wouldn't die out. And they do make good points. You know, the captain saying, you know, we'll fight you to the end. And,
right.
But, you know, they do make a point. If it was you, if it was your species, you would understand. You would do the same thing. And they're absolutely right. If we were on the brink of destruction, we would do whatever we had to do.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So it is kind of, you know, you got to put yourself in another, you know, person's shoes there a little bit.
And I think he just keels over after he tells them all of that, don't he?
Yeah.
Like, whatever inhabited the dead body took off. And
mm-hmm. Maybe well, that body was about rotten anyway, so.
Yeah.
We're going to find us a better one.
Yeah.
And
is it... Maybe that might have been the point when he jumped into the captain's body.
Spoiler!
Well, I mean, it's getting to that time. Yeah, we're getting towards the end of the movie. I mean, you know.
This is not going to be our shortest podcast ever.
Well, we got plenty to talk about.
Yeah, I guess.
And anyways, but because he starts acting strange.
Yeah, and then we get to that. We have to do that that meteor rejector thing again. They have to go to the other damn ship,
right,
to get it. And another one of the ones that was one of those two dudes.
Yeah,
isn't one of them? Somebody mm-hmm. got hold of it. No, it was this guy. It was this guy. This guy that was just telling them what the plan was. Okay. He's the one who. Okay. Ended up grabbing it from the other ship and taking it and stowing it away. So it's like, you know, you'll get it back once you agree to take us home with you.
Sorry, we skipped over that. So, that's an important part of the movie.
Because they keep hyping this thing up like they need it. When they leave, they end up not even taking it.
Well, no, it's on the ship. No,
they don't. It gets destroyed or something.
It does get destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, when they leave, they end up not having it anyway when they're going home. And then I love when they said they're just going to blow up the other ship, take all the bodies in there.
Yeah.
All the dead bodies.
Plutonium.
Yes, for 3 pounds of plutonium. Give me the detonators and the 3 pounds of, and they give themselves like the Beastmaster handshake.
3 pounds of plutonium.
Three pounds of plutonium.
You don't even use that much to send a ship out to space.
How much?
I mean,
how much does a nuke use? I don't know.
3 pounds. I think it's very tiny.
But they don't. Who knows? Show the plutonium. They never show it.
Of course they don't.
They have like little detonators that look like, you know, Pink Panther, you know, Boris and Natasha kind of ticking bombs with a clock on it. That's what they got.
My God!
Oh, and the big shootout's coming. The gunfight at the OK Corral.
Oh yeah,
is coming up pretty soon.
And they shoot their lasers. I mean, you see it coming out.
They just look like cigarette lighters.
Yeah,
because of fire.
Yeah, because they don't show it actually shooting towards the people. They kind of like cut it off because they production value.
So the dude who said you'll get it back, you know, so there were the two that came back that were lost.
Yeah,
one of them, you know, is the one that reveals the plan. The other one's got the meteor mm-hmm. rejector, and he's running back to the other ship.
Yeah.
He gives it to the other zombie vampire dudes, and they take it on their ship again. Because they had, I don't know, that whole toy has gone back and forth.
Right, yeah.
So, they have to go traipsing out to the other ship again to go get it. And
it's the premise of the movie.
Yeah, they get up there, you know, they're starting to unhook it. They get, is it his brother who's now possessed by one of these characters?
I do believe
one
so.
One of these floating invisible characters, and they run up with him, who he thought he was dead. because when they get back to that ship, they notice like all the bodies are gone, everybody's gone,
and they're
all reanimated.
Yep.
Reanimated. And I love how he says, you know, violence will not destroy me, and he proceeds to be whooping his butt. and you know, manages to get his laser gun away from him and just blasts him in the knee with just looks like a flashlight beam. This'll
stop ya.
And yeah, it knocks him right down. So I guess violence did do something to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Violence. You know what? I gotta say, you know, after watching RoboCop and Terminator 2 Judgment Day, the only thing those movies ever taught me was that the only way to solve any problem is violence. And this movie helps too.
Yeah, pretty much.
So all those movies were good for. Teach me about violence. No oh, other lesson boy. Learned. Yeah. So yeah, so they get outside, and then there's a couple of them. It's going to be a shootout right. out there over this thing.
Right.
And these are the most cheesiest, chintziest looking laser guns I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they couldn't even like animatedly draw a little red line.
Right. It's like just, a cigarette lighter.
Yeah, it's just a little flame shoots out of it.
And they cut it away so that it, before it like shoots out, right. you know, to make it seem.
And these
like
are like the old
shoots.
Westerns when someone gets shot. Oh! And I love how it's a delayed reaction. You know, bam! Oh! Like you gotta wait for the time it takes the laser to travel the speed of light and kill you. So I absolutely love that. By the time they get back to the ship, there's just three of them left.
Well, they do bring, they bring the Rejuvenator.
Yeah, because there's a huge shootout.
Yeah. So it's just the three of them on the ship. They close
the
it off.
Captain Mark, what's the other guy? Wes, I think.
Wes and Sonya.
The Grease Monkey and Sonya.
Yeah.
And they take off.
They take off. Wes confronts Sonya and tells her that I think Mark is, you know, possessed or whatever by mm-hmm. him. And
that's right, because he is acting a bit strange.
Yeah, so Sonya takes him to him.
Well, and how they're acting is kind of like Body Snatchers, and that's why I was saying Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
When these people would be snatched,
mm-hmm.
They just kind of had a flat affect, emotionless about them. And you know, I remember in the film.
Did you say Ben Affleck?
Yeah. Okay. And and flat affect.
Affleck.
And when you know the way to hide yourself amongst them was that you had to appear, you know,
normal.
Static and, you know, like that Buster Keaton stone face and show no emotion.
I am here.
So she, Sonya and Sonya and Wes decide to...
They take him to the captain who proceeds to say, ah, you are on to us.
Right. Well, because he's laying down. Remember the part where he's laying down?
I do remember this, Ted. Sonya turns really her gun.
And see, this is actually very uncomfortable. This really bothers me when someone starts acting like that.
She says, hey, he's on to us.
Because the reason he does is because he sees the captain about to come in his room. He's got his laser gun.
Hello, everybody.
And he sees like his reflection, like he's coming. Yeah. And
I don't know. We're flipping out tonight.
Yeah. And yeah, he sees like his reflection in the metal. And that's what kind of gives him the idea. You know, he's acting strange and that.
Because the mist comes through the door, that's kind of a cool part of the thing. But he does get him in there, and they pretty much, they take care of him and kill him.
They pretty much say, you know, yes, we are inhabited, and we're going back to your world.
And this is the coolest part. The ending of the movie is really, like you said, Twilight Zone-ish.
The meteor rejector is gone. They can't get too far.
Yeah, they're like, we can't get to where homeland where we got to get to. So he goes, we need to find a planet
that we can survive on.
Yeah, and of course they look through the viewfinder and they look down, and what do they see?
Earth.
The planet Earth.
And you know, they check it all out, the readings, they can survive there. They use the supersonic telescope and see like Manhattan, and they're like, ah, they are primitive. They still make their cities of stone
and
metal.
Iron.
So what we realize is that at the end that all these characters we've been dealing with were from some other world.
Yeah.
They weren't from Earth at all. They spoke English and they breathed oxygen. Well, we assume oxygen.
Right.
Whatever. And but they were from another planet and you know, went to this world. And now these creatures that have escaped to proliferate their species are coming to our world.
Yeah.
And so we...
And they're thinking it'll be easy to take them over.
Right, because we're so primitive. And there we go. We're all them now.
Yep. All you need is 100 of them and then they can expand.
And right. And that's pretty much the movie in a nutshell.
Yeah.
as fast as we could possibly get through this damn movie.
It was...
You're not picking any more movies.
It's still...
If I haven't heard of it, I'm not watching
it. It's still a good one for sci-fi fans, and I think it was a good one to go over. I mean, a lot of elements that kind of, you know, led to other great movies in the future. So
Yes,
you know, I mean, there are aspects of the movie that...
Right, and that's where you have to give the movie some respect.
Right.
That there's nuggets in this movie that we're going to transcend into better movies later on, or I should say, you know, more memorable movies later on.
Yeah, other than that, that's...
And it's a product of its time. It's a product of its time. There are plenty of other science fiction movies that are way worse than this. This one at least had some different things to it that, you know, other movies didn't have. It wasn't space aliens and rubber suits.
Yeah.
You had to use your imagination a little bit, you know, and then it was a little bit of an abstract idea. So, you know, I give it, you know, props for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the usual science fiction trappings that I'm not a fan of are there, but it's not the movie's fault. That's just what was cool at the time, and that's what everybody did.
Yep.
So you didn't know any better. You know, now science fiction's, you know, way different. But even then, I'm still kind of hard to please. You know, it's not like I love every science fiction movie. So,
of course.
You know, you can stay tuned to our next podcast when we talk about our favorite movies here.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. We're going to do our top 10 horror list. Ted's and mine. Right. Dino. So, but, yeah. So, that's it. And next week's podcast will be Evil Dead.
Right.
And I can't wait to go over that because I'm feeling like hardcore horror.
Yeah, I just saw the preview online for the you know, like a really good with actual footage from the show coming on Showtime.
Can't wait.
You know, Bruce Campbell coming back. I think it'll be cool. I'm not the biggest Evil Dead fan. I'm not like a diehard fan, but I've seen the movies, you know, plenty of times. Yeah. And this is like the first time where I think we're going to do a movie where I don't even feel like I need to watch it before we do it. I will. But, you know, because I just know it pretty well, you know, beginning to end. And you know, I've read Bruce Campbell's book, so I know a little bit about the making of it and what they went through to do that. And we can go over some of that.
So Ted will be packed with information.
I'll have a few tidbits for you. But most fans of that movie probably know this stuff already.
Right, right.
And it's a, you know, just an insanely popular franchise.
It is.
And, you know, even with the remake that they did or reboot or whatever, which I didn't think, for what it was, I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was respectful. Yeah. And
Definitely.
I'm looking forward to doing that movie.
Cool.
And then we'll get going. So we're gonna have a little podcast, a little short podcast after this one.
Yep.
Talking about some of our favorite horror flicks and movies and stuff like that. So if you're interested in that, just hearing what we kind of like, you know, go over that, and then you'll know, you know, who's got better taste.
And and we'll have a different taste, of course we will. But anyways, please, if you're on iTunes, give us some stars and some feedback. We got a whole mess of new people.
I'm coming after you.
Ooh, okay. And, till next time.
Out.